for being here tonight. We are in lesson 5 of Precept in Leviticus, chapters 18 through 22. We're going to go and get started with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this time that we can be here in your house to study your word freely. We just ask that in this time that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive and to hear the knowledge you would have us to take away from the scriptures, that we can apply it to our lives and walk with one another and help each other to be sharper in your word. And there are some who aren't here with us tonight that we just pray that for whatever reason that you'd be with them, and also with Ian and Carrie as they're traveling, and for those online that are also not with us in body but with us in spirit, we pray for them as well, Lord. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, guys. We're going to kick off in chapter 18, and we're going to do a little bit of a review from starting in Leviticus 1. We're going to look at the main segments. Do you guys remember how we paraphrase Leviticus 1 through 7? Well, what did you say, Judy?
Sanctuary offerings and applications.
All right. Sanctuary offerings and applications. Anybody else on that one? I've got the offerings kind of sums up chapters 1 through 7. Anybody mm-hmm. else? All right.
Voluntary and involuntary offerings.
Voluntary and involuntary. Okay. How about 8 through 10?
Preparation for the priest.
Say that again?
Preparation for the priest.
Preparations for the priest. Okay. Priest ordination, all that good stuff. Anybody else?
And then there's that little dab about Nadab and Abba.
Okay. Yep, Nadab and I believe it's Abihu, or is
Abihu.
It? Is that? Forgive me if I'm saying that wrong. All right. How about Leviticus 11 through 15?
I had the health rules for everyone.
Health rules for everyone. I have the laws for cleanness. Anybody else?
Avoid unclean as well.
All right. Anybody else?
Test for leprosy.
Okay, test for leprosy. Now we're going to break down 11 through 15 because there was a lot of different things in there.
Yes.
So we'll probably catch up leprosy in that.
Okay.
All right. So let's look at 11 just by itself. What do we get from 11, guys?
Eating laws.
Yeah. Law for eating.
Law for eating. Okay. Can y'all see this marker very well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, number 12, Leviticus 12.
For women who give birth.
Okay, women who give birth. Anybody else?
It says laws for motherhood. Same thing.
Okay. Laws for motherhood, women who give birth.
7 days of purification.
Okay, seven days of purification.
7 days of purification while on women. What's that, women?
Okay. How about 13? Do you have one for there?
Leprosy and infectious skin conditions.
Mm-hmm. No, for
right.
Leprosy.
Those are great. That's why I need that popcorn, right? Leprosy and what else was it?
Infectious skin.
Skin diseases.
Okay, skin diseases.
Apparently they had a lot of problems with that back in the day. Mine has something to do with bad. They don't have bad.
All right, how about 14?
That's true.
Lepers cleansing.
All right. Lepers cleansing. And I will go ahead and give you guys number 15 is a law for discharge. All right. 16, anybody?
Law of Atonement.
Day of Atonement.
All right. Did you say the Law of Atonement?
Yeah. That's
okay.
The title over here on.
Okay.
In this particular
I'm going to put law slash Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's look at Leviticus 17.
I got holiness for the and sanctification for the individuals.
Okay, sanctification for the individuals. Anybody else?
I had blood for atonement.
You said blood for atonement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Judy, what did you say again?
I had a holiness slash sanctification.
Okay.
Of the individuals. But I had that for chapters 17 through 20, so...
Okay, so maybe it's...
one specific just to 17.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. All right, so now that takes us to where we are tonight. How did you guys title chapter 18?
Abominations.
Abominations?
But
unlawful sexual relations.
Laws on immoral relations.
Laws on immoral relations. Those are probably more appropriate. I put keep God's judgments and statutes. But you said the law for, what was it, Judy?
I said unlawful sexual relations.
Okay. We'll write that down. How did y'all enjoy reading that chapter?
Mm.
It's very applicable to present day in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is the theme that we're seeing throughout Leviticus?
Laws.
A lot of laws.
A lot of laws. Why do we have to have laws? Why did they have these laws?
They're getting ready to enter the promised land, and you just need rules to live by.
Okay, what?
A nation needs laws.
Okay.
A group of people to be a nation needs laws.
What was the purpose of the laws?
At least to know that you need the Messiah.
Okay.
And for health purposes.
Okay. For health purposes to point you to the fact that, you know, to the Messiah that, you know...
There has to be an ultimate sacrifice. Because
right.
Otherwise, they had to keep on making a sacrifice
mm-hmm.
or making an atonement mm-hmm. that he was the ultimate...
Propitiation?
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're welcome.
For our sin. And so it kind of like annulled all of this because that's what most of this was about. And also it was... The law makes you realize you can't keep the law. So,
That exactly, and that's what I was fixing today as well, is the law shows them how fallible they are.
Mm-hmm.
That
so it brings you the knowledge that you need a Savior.
Absolutely. So is it fair to say that a summary statement for Leviticus might be holy,
mm-hmm.
for I am
holy. Holy, that's right.
And I think that we saw that theme over and over again throughout these chapters is, for I am holy, I am the Lord, for I am holy.
And I think it brings us, even though the law brought us to the knowledge that we needed a Savior, but another thing about the Leviticus is, just the Leviticus itself, is for us to realize how holy the Lord Jesus, God was.
Sure.
You know? And so I think that we get the concept that we can't be good enough to without the, you know, Jesus Christ, without his saving blood. But I think we forget sometimes how holy God is.
Mm-hmm.
How sinless he is.
Is this everybody's first time doing Leviticus?
This is my second.
This is your second? Has anybody else done it more than once? You have?
Not through precept, but I have.
You've studied it a different way?
Yes.
Before we read Leviticus, or we studied this inductively, precept by precept, verse by verse, however you want to call it, did studying Leviticus change the way that you saw God?
Yes.
I think, for me, it just is a reminder. I think we slip into that everyday routine, ritual thing. I think even when we pray, sometimes we get into that ritual thing about how, I routinely practice the way that I pray, acknowledging who He is, giving Him praise, acknowledging my sin, acknowledging that I need Him, those kind of things when I pray. But I think sometimes we get into a rote of that.
Sure.
Because we do it so much. I mean, if you're a professing Christian, then you should be doing it a lot. So we do it so much that sometimes it becomes rote or routine. And I think for me, it helps me get back on course and makes me come back. You know, it's like a washing or cleaning. You know, hey, look who God is.
He is
a holy God.
I don't know about you guys, but as I read these chapters and I'm marking all these things and I'm thinking of all these things they had to do and how specific it was, I'm so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I mean, I guess I would have it in me if I guess I probably wouldn't be the one sacrificing the animal. But think about all this bloodshed every day. I mean, this was really intense, and we're so fortunate to have Christ that we're on this side of all of that. But this is still very relevant to what we're doing. So let's go back, just we're still in the review area, of what is the setting for Leviticus? Where are we in the Bible with all of this?
We're in the Israelites are in the wilderness.
Okay.
On their way to the Promised Land.
Okay.
Just left Egypt and were freed, and they were, 2 months out and got the Ten Commandments.
And they just finished making the temple.
Yeah.
At this point in the journey, they are a little over a year out from their deliverance from Egypt. Has it been a perfect journey?
No.
Have they done everything they're supposed to do?
No.
I think we've seen some moments of faithfulness. We've seen a lot of unfaithfulness, a lot of falling away, a lot of forgetting. Maybe something that we see in our own culture now, that it's the human heart is a very fickle thing.
Oh yeah.
And so when we see it in others, it's often a reflection back on ourselves sometimes, I think. Where were they when God spoke the Ten Commandments?
Mount Sinai.
And when we look at the whole book of Leviticus, do you guys know how much time Leviticus spans?
1 month.
1 month. Excellent. You guys are like the best students ever, I'm telling you. And where were they the whole time of this setting of Leviticus?
Still in the desert.
They were in the wilderness at Mount Sinai.
Right.
So still in the same location. What is unique about Israel that we're seeing in these chapters?
Unique from us or unique from the people?
Like for them. Like
in
what
day and time?
When you read this, what are we seeing about Israel that we're not hearing about the other nations of the world?
It's God's chosen people.
Okay, right? It's God's chosen people.
He chose that group of people.
Is there a phrase we kept seeing throughout this week as we went through the chapters? Can y'all think of some of the phrases we kept seeing?
You said, "Be holy, for I am holy."
Okay, be holy, for I am holy.
Keep my statutes.
Keep my statutes.
Be people's representative.
Okay. What about be set apart?
There you go.
Okay, be set apart. And that's a lot of what we're seeing is this is a process of God telling them how they are to be distinct, how they are supposed to be set apart from the other nations. They are supposed to be His people, like you said. Every day of their lives should be affected by these ordinances. All right. So how does all of this relate to us as New Testament believers?
The same. We need to be sanctified or set apart.
Okay, sanctified or set apart.
To the Lord and holy as He is holy.
Okay. Anybody else? So we're called to be a holy nation. And as we read this and we look at it and we all talk about it and we even said, yeah, I'd have such a hard time with that. I think it also points us back to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Showing us that, hey, you know, I couldn't do this any more than they could. I wouldn't have got it all right. and Christ himself was our offering for atonement. I mean, that's just, it's sad news on the one hand that he had to come and he died for our sins, but on the other side, you're just so thankful that that he loved us and enough to make that sacrifice, because that was not easy. What does Christ's blood do for us?
Cleanses us.
Cleanses us from an evil conscience.
Right, and takes the sin away, not just covers it.
Exactly, it removes it completely. We are not slaves to sin. We are slaves of righteousness, and we can overcome through Christ. Say what?
Romans chapter 6, 13.
Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 6, 13. So now we're going to look at more in depth of Leviticus 18 through 22. We'll start with chapter 18. Actually, we'll go ahead and just do the titles real quick. We started a minute ago. So unlawful sexual relations. What was a repeated statement we saw in Leviticus 18?
Nakedness.
Nakedness. Exactly. Don't uncover the nakedness. So that's one of the, if you want to write that down as one of the key things to take away, is don't uncover nakedness of blood relatives. It's very specific about the blood relatives. How about Leviticus 19? How did you guys title that, or what did you get out of that?
Idolatry forbidden.
Okay.
Yeah, I just put various laws.
Various laws. Anybody else?
I had statutes and ordinances because he repeated that.
Okay. Anybody else? I guess we all had something a little different because there's so much in these chapters. I put commandments revisited. Anita, what did you say again?
Statutes and ordinances.
Statutes and ordinances. I think that's a pretty good summary of that. Was there a common phrase here that we also saw?
Well, you shall. You shall do this, or you shall not do this.
I am the Lord your God.
I am the Lord your God.
I am the Lord your God. Is that what you said as well? Okay, yeah. I am the Lord your God. Over and over and over again, he's saying, I am the Lord your God. Be holy. I am the Lord your God. Mm-hmm. Have reverence. Have love. So, Anita, you said ordinances and statutes?
Statutes.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. Okay. So, how about chapter 20? I put keeping God's statutes. Anybody else?
You shall keep my statutes and practice them.
Okay. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. Anybody else?
It says human sacrifice and immoralities.
Okay. What are some of the repeated maybe names that we saw, types of behaviors that we saw there?
Offering their children to Molech.
Okay, do you know, can you explain who Molech is?
Molech was a false god, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they would heat that statue of Molech to red hot.
Is it the god of fire?
Yep.
Is that right? For
and
the Canaanites?
Put their babies on it. I just mm-hmm. don't understand that.
That is very strange. So everybody understands Molech? Okay. And hopefully we're saying that right. I think we saw a bit of harlotry. Some mediums, divination, spiritists.
Yeah.
And what happens to these people? What is the consequence?
Death.
Dead.
Yeah.
So there's some very, here in these chapters, we see very, very severe consequences for very specific offenses. Okay?
Stoned with stones.
So I said I put keeping God's statutes. Anybody else want to? I know y'all said some. If you want to throw any back out there.
I think it's important to put practice just because.
You said practice?
You know the statutes and keep the statutes, but practice them. There's a reason for practicing them. So that
okay, keep and practice the statutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know the fact he says right there wasn't in verse.
Okay.
You shall keep my statutes and practice them. So keep my statutes and practice them.
Okay. Well, that's a good observation. Keep and practice God's statutes. All right, how about 21? I left that one blank on mine. I thought it was a lot going on there.
I put rules for priests.
Yeah, these chapters are definitely for priests, but there's a few other things that get in there, so rules for priests is definitely appropriate. Anybody else?
Priests are not to defile or ignore profane.
Okay. Priests / don't defile. Anybody else? I'm going to write that down. Was there anything that was repeated in this chapter that jumped out to you?
We'll go more into it later. I was just asking off the top of your head, so don't go too crazy with it.
All right, how about chapter 22, guys?
More sundry rules for priests.
More sundry rules for priests.
And I put unacceptable sacrifices.
Okay, that's a good one, unacceptable sacrifices. Do you think they're to be careful with holy things?
What I had, careful with holy gifts.
Did you? Okay. Be careful with holy gifts. Is that, you said gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And who is this for?
God.
Who's the main audience of?
Oh.
You can tell
us. Speaking to the Israelites.
Well, he's actually speaking to Aaron and
Aaron and his sons.
Okay.
So would that be the priests?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Nita, tell me what you said one more time.
Careful with holy gifts.
All right. Priests / careful with holy gifts. All right. Thank you. What is something that is repeated throughout these chapters? I think we can name several things. Anything jump out at you guys? If you think of all of 18 through 22, all that you've read.
How to be holy.
How to be holy. Do you think we've learned something about not profaning God's holy name?
Right.
All right, let's not profane his name. And I think that's one of the things I enjoy about this group of people is I know I could go out anywhere with you at any time and I never one time have to worry about you guys taking God's name in vain, being inappropriate. And we can't say that about everybody we know. But it is so important, and I don't know about you guys, when I hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain, it just makes me cringe inside. And then to know and to see how important it is to him himself that we don't do that. You know, it's... Let's look at chapter 18 a little bit more in depth here. So we're going to go back just a little bit. We're going to go... You know how Carrie told us before, like, how she does a line through her chapters, and then she'll title each one. Mm-hmm. I found that really helpful doing this study, these lessons. I usually do it all the time. But for this, it was really good because it helped to draw out which of those sexual immoralities that they're actually specifically talking about. So in what was Israel told to do, not to do, and why? You remember that chart? If you look at page 63, you had your chart that you did. We're going to write some of the stuff up here for everybody. So if you didn't get a chance to do the chart, if you can see this, we'll fill it in a little bit together here. So I'm just going to write do, no, for whether or not to do, and then why. Does that make sense, guys? All right. So let's start with what they are to do. That's going to be the last column on the right. Or why they're to do it, I'm sorry, if I didn't explain that well.
Because he is Lord, just repeats over, I am Lord.
Because he is Lord? Okay.
Why?
One thing I wrote down is why they're to do it, so the land will not spew them out. Did y'all catch that as one of the things? Okay. Anybody else?
I said, is by which a man may live. So it's like instructions by which a man may live.
Okay.
Judgments. Perform God's judgments because by which a man may live. So it's kind of like, you know, rules for living, I guess is a better way to say it.
Okay. Could we say why in order to live, maybe?
Okay.
Is that good for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we know eventually you're going to be stoned to death for some of that behavior.
That's right. Okay, some of the scripture said to not be cut off from their people. Did y'all catch that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And it seemed important that the emphasis kept repeating their people. And I have to not defile themselves. Did anybody catch that as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
First thing.
And I have one more. Does anybody else have any?
This abomination.
Stand by.
So that you won't practice abomination. Right there, verse 20 says, thus you are to keep my charge that you do not practice any abomination customs. So I would say, so that you will not practice any abomination customs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not practice
so
abomination.
That's great.
Teamwork, guys, makes the dream work. And you said customs, right?
Yes, that's what God's word says.
All right. And the last one I have is, wait, I think you already did that, actually. Oh, it's to not be cast out. That was distinct from cut off from your people.
Yeah. I have the, otherwise the Lord will cast you out. I also have that it's because it's a perversion.
Because it's a perversion?
Glad they're to do it.
Well, let's come over here.
Don't do that because it... Forget it.
Yep. Okay, we'll get that. Is that a different list? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the do list. These are kind of, the do and the why are a bit shorter than the do not. I got a whole page of do nots. Okay.
Verse 4 says, you are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes.
And live in accord with them, right?
Verse 4.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's write that
down.
I
always write the verse numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What verse is that, by the way?
Verse 4.
Verse 4. Okay, I'll put that up here. That might be helpful to everybody else. Verse 4. Perform judgments, keep statutes.
That's verse 4 and 5 again. Yeah.
4 and 5?
Mm-hmm. He repeats himself. He knows how. He knows how. He knows how. Let me just say that one more time in case you didn't get that.
Keep statutes and live in accord with them. Okay, any other ones? There was one, like, overarching statement that I caught in the scriptures. Anybody else want to throw it in before I throw mine out there?
I just put keep my charge. I don't know if that's the same thing as...
Okay, keep your charge. It's kind of like the rules that were given to you. Keep what was... Okay. Anybody else? I put do not do any of the abominations listed. I think that was actually, let me find that.
To do, yeah.
Verse 30.
Even is it to do?
Is that verse 30?
Verse 20.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that was similar to what you caught earlier, Cindy. So do not do.
And also, I think back where Lord has said, in verse 30 it says, thus you are to keep my charge. And then it
keep my charge.
So that you will not practice any. I think that's what you're trying to do. I think you're trying to combine all that. That's how that works. So that you're to keep my charge. It goes along with what you're trying to say there. But
okay, I'm going to put slash keep my charge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you said this is verse 30. Ish. Okay, verse 30.
Ish.
Yes. Now we're going to look at what they're not to do. Y'all see, this is... I was running out of room.
Yeah, there is a board long enough.
Yeah, I may not write all of these down, but we will talk about them so everybody...
we have about 25 of those, at least.
All right. So throw some out at me, guys.
So they're not to do what is done in Egypt.
Okay.
Canaan.
That would be idol worship, I would imagine.
That's right. 18:1-5.
You shall not walk in their statutes, yes.
Okay, so I'm still not do what's done in Egypt or Canaan.
Or Canaan, yeah.
Bill, what were you saying back there?
And that same verse just adds
not to walk
in their statutes.
Okay, not to walk in the statutes of the Egyptians and the Canaanites, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. I have approach a blood relative to uncover nakedness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
So have sexual relations with any blood relative.
Okay. What do we call that today?
Incest.
They're talking about incest. And there's a lot of the do-nots with the uncovering the nakedness. I did list all of them, but I think we do have a blanket list. I'm sorry, but somebody else want to add one?
When you get past all of the sex stuff, I said offer any of their offspring to Molech.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Do not offer offspring to Molech.
Verse 21, yeah. No, this is gross. No intercourse with animals. But
okay.
Obviously that's what was going on at times. Otherwise it wouldn't be in here. Perversion, it says.
Did you guys mark that word intercourse in your readings? Did y'all have a marking for that? I did I did a cursive I through it just to make it just a word I would remember.
Stand out.
Yeah, I didn't know if anybody else had marked it, if they had a better way to mark it, or if they were even thinking about it.
You're not to profane the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. We said this a minute ago, but I didn't write it down. Uncover the nakedness of blood relatives, which we did say was incest.
To me, that kind of shined a light on, what is it, Genesis 7, you know, where one of Noah's sons, remember Noah got drunk from the wine?
Right.
And it said that he uncovered the nakedness of his father, and in Genesis, you kind of go, he saw his dad naked. But when you read Leviticus, it says the nakedness of his wife is the nakedness of the father.
Right.
So I'm thinking he saw his mother naked and stared at her. And that's when the other boys came in and
they went backwards with the cover.
And I think Leviticus brings that to the forefront, you know, when you first read Genesis, you go, what did he do?
It clarifies some things, or at least makes you think.
He was banned. I mean, he's had nothing but trouble ever since.
Yes.
You know, the whole line.
Judy,
well, 62, she said, uncover the nakedness. This phrase is synonymous with having sexual relations. So.
Ooh, that could have been real bad. Well, I guess it was, obviously.
Judy, you said profane God's name, right?
Correct.
Okay. We saw some scripture on adultery in 18 and 19 and 20. Did y'all catch that? It says you will not commit, have relations with your neighbor's wife.
How about with a woman on her menstrual cycle?
Right.
Okay. There is that.
Verse 19, yeah.
Bill, you said bestiality?
Bestiality, yes. Yep.
And there's one more hot-button topic that we're dealing with in our present day.
Homosexuality.
Men with men, women with women. Not right. All right, goodness.
All right. So, does that seem fairly comprehensive to what the do's, the don'ts, and the whys? Anything else we need to add to this list? Or something that I didn't ask and you guys want to share it?
It's not a separate thought, but I think at the very bottom it says, do not practice any of these abominable practices.
Yes.
There was no verse.
Okay, so do not do any of the abominations, the abominable customs. All right.
Also that divination and soup.
Is divination in this one?
In chapter 19.
Yeah, I got 1931. Did you guys list what you would call verses 1 through 5 in chapter 18? Did you do like a little subheading for that?
You mean a paragraph?
Yeah.
You shall not do what they did in Egypt.
Okay, you should not do what they did in Egypt.
Keep
God's statutes and judgments.
Verse 4.
Yes. That's actually almost right out of the teacher guide, Anita.
No.
Just kidding. They were not to live as the Egyptians did. Somebody actually just said that. Cindy said that. What about verses 6 through 18? This is where we see a lot of the incest discussion.
No relations with relatives.
Okay. Yeah. Do not uncover the nakedness of any blood or close relative.
I just put have sexual relation with anyone who is not your husband or wife.
Okay. I mean, that's a good summary as well.
No incest, no homosexuality, no bestiality. I figured it was just something so simple, but he had to go so in depth. And it didn't make sense to me because it's just those things so, you know,
yes,
condensed.
And you think you could say, you know, don't have relationships or relations out of your marriage with your husband,
yeah,
or your wife. Have one, not both. But there are people who, you know, God knows the way that we are. We're crafty manipulators.
Mm-hmm.
We want what we want. The heart is desperately wicked and evil. So we, you know, thankfully, we have a God who says, okay, let me just tell you flat out, I'm not going to make you guess. I'm not going to make you wonder. This is the way that the order of things should be, and so they're going to be this way. How about verses 19 through 23? This hit a lot of those hot-button topics that we deal with today.
You shall not profane the name of the Lord your God Almighty.
Shall not profane the name of the Lord your God.
I think the very last part of verse 23 sums it up. It says, it is a perversion when it speaks of all these things going from 19 to, mm-hmm, you know.
19 through 23 touches on adultery, homosexuality, and bestiality.
And that's perversion.
Really puts them right in there. It is perversion. How about verses 24 through 30?
Actually, that next chapter division goes on into chapter 19.
Okay.
Not much, just by the one verse that he says, and then he said, then the Lord spoke to Moses. And then it starts a new chapter.
I do believe at the end of, through 20, hang on, what am I at here, 19? This is just focusing on more the things that defile people.
Say, the key word is defile and
yeah,
all that.
Defile is, I agree, the key word there.
Do not practice abomination customs. That's a good way.
There were so many things. I did this list outside my this chapter because
there's a lot going on.
There was so much. I didn't break it in chunks in this one just because there was. I just made my list like we made here outside.
I found that chapter 19 was easier to break down. It was very just section by section going through things. How can we apply this to our lives? I think we discussed it a little bit earlier. We've gone a little bit deeper into it.
Well, I think because of the sound of the times that we live in, it's important for us to see this in writing because everything around us
is suggesting a different way.
Well, what was Mike teaching on this morning in his preaching?
Mm-hmm.
False teaching. And there are many people. You know how we said you're only saved once if you're truly saved?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do believe that there are people walking around who have fooled themselves into thinking, but they haven't changed. They don't know the Word of God. It's all good and fine, and this is something, it's a nice idea that they want to be, but they won't discipline themselves to be the actual person that God would want them to be Christ-like. And so there's people who can be easily manipulated. You know, he was saying if you've got the pastor, you pretty much got the church.
Yes.
Because so many people aren't studying for themselves. You think about the size of our church, but how many of us are here?
And what I'm saying is I think it's just so important for us to see this, because everything around us, I'm talking about things that are not Christ-like, that are not professing Christians, not pastors. I'm talking about television, Facebook, mm-hmm. neighbors, you know, mm-hmm. people, your relatives, mm-hmm. everything that we're around is saturated with this abomination of the sin.
Have you guys ever had a conversation with someone who claims to be a Christian that told you that they weren't bothered by homosexuality?
Mm-hmm.
I've had that conversation with people who they didn't seem, it's no problem. I've had Christians tell me it's not in the Bible, alleged Christians. Let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. I've had people who identify themselves and they say, it's not in the Bible.
They try to make all this stuff acceptable.
Well, the devil has had a way. At first he thought, the way he's worked it out is that, just people are just doing what they want to do. But now he's got people believing that you're born that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Crying out loud.
You know what it makes me think of? What was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago? Have you not read the scriptures?
Yes.
Remember when Ian kept asking us, have you not read the scriptures? But guys, we're going to be experiencing this more and more, worse and worse through the years as these things become okay. So where's the line drawn anymore?
And I think it's important that when you do get someone that says that they think it's okay, because, I mean, they say they're a believer, but they say that homosexuals are just born that way. And you need to say, well, sit down and read the scriptures. And mm-hmm. if they don't believe in the scriptures, there's no need. They're not going to want to hear that. But I'm just saying there's no way that they can justify that logic of thinking through scripture. Won't work. Mm-hmm. Now, all the way back to Genesis, you can go all the way back to Genesis and say, this is saying, oh, this won't work. It does not work. Scientists and crazy nuts can say whatever they want to. It doesn't work with God's word.
Don't hold back, Cindy.
I won't.
All right.
Mike called this morning heretics.
Mm-hmm. Heretics. There's mm-hmm. plenty of heretics around us. Your
we
best life now.
Marriages. That, yeah. I mean, really?
Which
who would have thought in my lifetime I would have.
Right. That, it's actually hard for me to say gay marriage because I, no matter what humanity does, I still feel like the way God intended marriage is not different. It hasn't changed.
But I'm just saying our whole culture is just saturated.
Yes.
With abomination.
Absolutely.
It's hard for us.
My 17-year-old son said, Mom, probably 1 in 10 are homosexual in the high school.
Well, boy.
1 in 10 is what his estimate is.
You know what I mean? There's
when I was in high school, I know people did that for attention, like to stand out, like they were different. But it wasn't really sincere. Like, they weren't believing it. They just wanted to shock and awe people, kind of a thing, you know? And to know that it's only been, 12 years since high school, that now it's like people are having these thoughts and these issues and these crises about their identity in middle school now, because they think it's a thing.
Now, if you remember, it was 62 that they voted to take the Bible out of schools. 63, they were actually out. And I graduated in 65. And, you know, we never spoke of this stuff.
No.
Wow.
I was at Wilson High School in Long Beach, California. We had prayer in the morning over the intercom in the name of Jesus mm-hmm. every morning.
Wow.
And then they'd come on and they'd do the sports and, you know, what the school was doing.
And that's something.
And then they passed that law, and you know, you never heard of homosexuality. I mean, it was there, but it was here. You didn't hear of the gangs and the killings and all that. They
so when what year was that, Bill? I'm not being funny. I mean, that was
62. They voted for it. 63,
so that's easily been over 50 years, though.
Yes.
So, but just think, that's not even a whole lifetime.
Right.
But we've gone from here to here.
I didn't know anybody who had any of that tendency in my era.
Right.
Wow.
It's, another thing too was is I mean, the
and you didn't and it wasn't there. It wasn't I, the fad to
right,
be
right.
Right. Homosexual.
But you hear also that very seldom did we ever see a young girl in high school pregnant back then. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We had a couple.
And I'm saying 65. I didn't think that was so far ago because
I know, you know there's right. schools now but that have daycares. In
yes,
school.
I was just going to say that. Now yeah. nowadays they have daycare for all the
really
teenage mothers,
guys.
And it's just it's sad. But
yeah, we're going to look at chapter 19. And are there words that kept jumping out to you guys here in chapter 19?
Okay.
I know love was only twice, but it's. It stood out to me because it hadn't been said in the past few chapters.
Sabbaths.
I got reverence. And then, again, we continue to see holy, I am the Lord. I am the Lord is actually repeated 15 times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So that should show you. Yes, he is. He's going to tell you who he is. And it begins and ends with the repeated command for holiness. Bless you. So let's look at these verses. We're going to break them down into the paragraphs. Let's see. If you look at verses 3 through 4, what do we see here?
This is 19?
Yeah, 19. I'm sorry, 19. Or look at 1 through 4. Did you guys title some of these? Okay. I've got keep the Sabbaths, no idols, honor mother and father. Mm-hmm. I just do little generic notes off to the side to help me look at that. We look at verses 5 through 8.
It's repeating some of the of what we saw in chapters 1 through 7.
The free will offerings.
The offerings.
Okay.
Just a little, you know, just a little summary of it. All the third day.
I lost track of time just a little bit here. I think it's actually 6 o'clock.
I have about 8 minutes.
Okay. So let me go up here. When we look at chapter 19, it kind of goes over a lot of the commandments that were given in Exodus. Having relationships, love your neighbor, do not hate, honor the wise, be fair in your judgments. It talks about how to treat others, how to handle the offerings, when to eat them. How do these things show or teach us how to revere God and be holy?
Be obedient to His word.
Obedience, that's one of the things I was thinking is, you know, He says do this. What's the best way to honor Him?
It's to do it.
It's to do it. And to not delay in doing it. But He says, I don't want you to do this, so you don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't put your toe on that line just because you know you can. You know what it's saying in the New Testament is that don't test the spirits.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And even though we live on this side of the cross and we have grace, we still might have consequences.
Absolutely,
right.
And there are consequences for sure. That's like when somebody is in an adulterous relationship. Are there men and women who've committed adultery who've never gotten caught? Mm-hmm. Yes, there are. But do any of us know a really great happy ending for the person who got caught? There's no good story there. There's never good there. And we, you know, in my line of work, I've seen numerous cases of incest. It's never good. You know, these things break apart families. They hurt people. There are times when people have to never see that family member again. And then you have parents torn between children or mothers, now they're torn apart from their husband because something happened that shouldn't have happened. There's nothing good. And God's telling us, don't do these things. It's almost like He's saying He's got the answers to spare us from all the heartache.
That's what I'm saying. Is that even though that He knew they were going to do these kind of things and they were continually making an atonement for or making sacrifices that an atonement would be made,
but on but application to us today, even though we're on the other side of the cross and that Jesus Christ did come and made the final, the ultimate atonement, we still, there still could be consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chapter 20 is keeping on with the statutes, as we said here, keep in practice God's statutes. And some of those things are not uncovering the nakedness of your blood relative, not making sacrifices to false gods, not cursing your parents, or committing sexual sins. What are the punishments in Leviticus for these things?
Death.
Surely be put to death. What are some manners that they might be put to death?
Stoning.
And if you're not stoned and put to death, what will happen to you?
You're cast out.
You are cut off from people. Or there's one other thing that could happen. You will be childless.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? You will die childless. Some of the repeated...
that was a big deal to them, too.
It was a big deal. That's your line.
People, it's not a big deal because they only have one or two children. They even get to pick and choose how many children they think they're going to have. But then it was a big deal to have children.
Right. I mean, think about Abraham, how much that meant to him. How much of a big deal that was. That's your lineage. That's your family. That's your name. It was very sacred. And to not be able to carry that on was a big deal. What are some repeated phrases that we're seeing here in chapter 20?
Blood guiltiness is upon them.
Their blood guiltiness is upon them, or his blood guiltiness is upon him.
Keep my commandments and my statutes, so that when I bring you into the land, it won't spew you out.
And just about every chapter here, starting off with, keep my statutes and commandments, keep my statutes and commandments, because he knows we're silly sheep, and we're going to keep doing silly things.
I think, too, that as you read it, you see how intimately God knows his creation.
Absolutely.
Because he would not give us all this stuff we're not supposed to do if he didn't know we would do it,
or
if he didn't tell us not to.
Or be tempted to do those things.
Yes.
We also see some more of the uncovering of the blood relations nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
We see some clean and unclean.
Yes.
And here is where I started seeing the, you will be set apart. Mm-hmm. Be holy. Like, it was really, really giving a continued emphasis on this, especially around chapter 20, verses 25 through 26. You are therefore to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, and between the bird and the clean, and you shall not make yourselves detestable. Thus you are to be holy to me. I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, too, that back in verse 14, where it says, if a man marries a woman and her mother, it is immorality. Both of them shall be burned with fire. You know, not just stoned, but burned with fire.
I read that.
There would be no immorality.
When I read that earlier, I put off to the side, because I wasn't sure, is that, are we talking about polygamy? Are we talking about incest? Or...
I guess it says here that he married a woman and
her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the mother and the daughter is like, wow.
Or a woman and her mother, I'm sorry.
Woman and her mother, yeah.
So that's a very, very severe consequence.
And the one thing, too, you can take on the fact is that there was, from what we can see about what you just said, there was it seemed like extreme consequences to sin.
Yes.
And don't you think that maybe that's why we've gotten to the point where we are, just because... we don't want extreme consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we don't. And there's a lot of Christians who...
And I'm not saying that I think it's extreme. I'm just saying that it's...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't actually see these consequences. We're going to see them later.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of people, I think they're going to be very surprised with the things that they're questioned about, you know.
Yes.
Well, I think that's what is going to happen here. When you said that you were saying that fact that the people, those, that they would be burned to death. Well, if they live in that sin like that here and they continue into their death, to their part, they're going to be burning to death too.
That's right. Lake of fire.
Well, let's look at chapter 21. And we said this earlier, but who are these chapters of 21 and 22 primarily directed to?
Aaron and
the sons, the priests. Okay. When we look at, let's see, hang on here. What are some repeated things we're seeing here in chapter 21?
Profane, defile. To be holy so as not to profane.
So you think about what it's like for the people just to exist and to be God's people. What do you guys think about being the priests of those people?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about walking the narrow.
You betcha.
I mean, it is very to the nth degree of how you will behave. You know, being holy in front of God to lead and shepherd his people. I mean, what a great honor and responsibility. And so we're looking at chapter 21. We put priests don't defile. The defiling was and profaning was a big repeated thing. And this is where we also see, for I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, am holy. He says this three times, I think, that I counted. Yeah, three times. Unless somebody else caught another one. Did anything in chapter 21 kind of sit funny with you? Was there anything odd in this chapter for you?
I was very specific about how they were to live and how they were to act.
It was very, very specific. And some things that you know how there's just some things we have to wrestle with the scriptures and reconcile them and
they're pretty straight up.
They are what they are, but there are also some things that
that was hard for me.
Say what?
The handicap.
Like when people are born of something that they can't control, they have no choice, no say over their condition. Yet the priests have to stay away from them.
Yep.
And then it kind of made me sad when I was reading it, but. You know, God is a holy God. He knows what is right. He's the designer, the author of life. So I don't feel like it's my place to question why he says these things, but it was a little bit hard to read them just because I see handicapped people now, and I wouldn't think to not go to them, especially if they needed help. So that's a little difficult.
Yeah, that was the only thing that really...
I'm just glad I'm not the only one that struggled with that.
I struggled, but I wasn't going to question God's word, but I... That
right part. Plays on your heart a little bit, but you still know that it's God's word and God is who He is, and mm-hmm. He is sovereign. Let's move on to chapter 22, and we said here that this one's about the priest, careful with holy gifts.
The only thing I would say about the defect, and because I was reading to make sure I was right in what I was thinking, it says, "No man of your, you know, anyone with a defect." Shall no one is supposed to approach to offer the food his God. In other words, to be like a priest.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I didn't really have a problem with this area is because what I've heard is that the priest is the reminder of our high priest, and our high priest Jesus had no defect. And so if someone had a defect and they were in the position of a priest, they couldn't represent Jesus.
I think we could probably spend the next couple hours having a really awesome theological discussion about defects and different ways we can look at it and chat about it. I'm just thankful we're on this side of the cross.
Amen.
And I'm actually thankful I'm not a priest. I appreciate those in shepherding the pastors. Just very glad that I'm a female and that's not my calling in life. I don't mind being here chatting and teaching and discussing and learning things. But wow, what a responsibility, you know. So in chapter 22, what repeated things were we seeing here?
The holy gifts.
Okay.
Uncleanness and offerings.
It says to be careful with the holy gifts, not to profane them.
Yeah.
Holy gifts.
To profane my holy name, I am the Lord.
Did you guys actually mark holy gifts?
Yes.
How did you mark it?
The same way I do holy.
Just same way you do holy? Okay.
Well, no, I put a blue in it instead of the yellow.
Okay.
Because I figured they were from the people.
We had there were several mentions of the free will offerings in here, the cleanness, some more of the shall be cut off from God or from before Him. And again, with the I am the Lord who sanctifies, he says that four times in this area. And so I'm going to leave you with this question, and you're invited to say it out loud if you want to, but please don't feel obligated to. And for those online, it's just something to think about. Are you keeping God's statutes? Are you walking in obedience to God? I know if I were to answer that, I'd say I try. I try really hard. But I catch myself, lose my temper sometimes. And then I'll feel sorry. Like, right away, I'll be like, man, I shouldn't have done that. And even if, like, a word never came out of my mouth, it's just a feeling I had that was, like, anger. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, what's that coming from? What's that all about? And I'll be like, then I'll pray about it. And, we're all human, but are we keeping God's statutes? Are we walking in obedience to Him? We know what we're supposed to do. I mean, we're for how long now? Almost a year we've been talking Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's very clear the example we're seeing in the lives of the Israelites, in the lives of Noah and Abraham and those in Genesis, how God values obedience. And now we're seeing more clearly how He values holiness. And holiness is something we can all use a little bit more of. And thankfully, we're all together, and we can help each other on our journey to holiness and under the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I thank you guys for your input and your sharing and your discussion tonight. Bill, do you mind closing us in prayer?
I do not mind. Father, we want to thank you tonight. And thank you each day that you are in our lives and that you guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your statutes, your laws, for the Ten Commandments, that we may see that goal and press toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. We praise you and thank you and ask again your blessing and your strength throughout this week, that we may bring you glory, honor, and praise in the way we live and in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.